أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. الحمد لله، نستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد، يحيي ويميت وهو على كل شيء قدير وإليه المصير. وأشهد أن سيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد. Dear brothers and sisters, the week before last we started talking about one of the important hadiths of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he was directing advice to Ibn Abbas, his cousin, who was a young man at that time. And we mentioned that this hadith is full of advice, which is very useful for all of us, as it has been at that time. And it's particularly useful for the younger generation. The Prophet told his cousin, Ya Ghulam, Inni u'allimuka kalimat. O young man, I teach you words. Listen to me carefully. يحفظ الله يحفظك. يحفظ الله تجده تجاهه. وإذا سألت فاسأل الله، وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله، واعلم أن الأمة لو اجتمعت على أن ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك، ولو اجتمعوا على أن يضروك بشيء لن يضروك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله عليك. رفعت الأقلام وجفت الصحف. So this hadith is full of advice. And as I said, last time we started trying to understand parts of the hadith. So we started by saying that the Prophet told his cousin, احفظ الله يحفظ احفظ الله تجده تجاهه. So be mindful of Allah, and Allah will look after you. And this is what we discussed last time. And we touched on how can you be mindful of Allah. And we mentioned that there are four things which can include Hiblillah. How do you look after Allah? How do you be mindful of Allah? And we mentioned the prayer. And we said that the prayer is the most important part of Islam. And it is the most important part of being a Muslim. And we should be looking after it carefully, trying to keep it on time and doing it properly. Then we mentioned looking after the different things we have that have been given by Allah, such as our vision, our hearing, and our bodies as a whole. Then we spoke about keeping sanctity and hafdhul iman, looking after our faith. So I won't go through all these. That's what we discussed 2 weeks ago. And we then mentioned that this is what our part of the deal, if you like, and Allah's part of the deal would be to look after us on three aspects, which is to look after us in the world, to look after us in the hereafter, and to look after our religion for us. So this is the deal. If we look after Allah, if we keep mindful of Allah, this is what we get in return. So let's move on with the hadith now, where it says, احفظ الله تجده تجاهه. Be mindful of Allah and you will find him in front of you. That's the literal translation. But what it really means is that if you are mindful of Allah, Allah will be with you. He will be backing you. He will be helping you in everything, every aspect in life. You will find him with you whatever you're doing. You'll find him with you at home. You'll find him with you in work, when you're in trouble or when you're in good time. The Quran tells us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. Allah is going to stand by those who have piety and those who do well. So if you really think about it in depth, say, imagine you lived in a rough area where people were getting mugged and attacked, and you had a very strong friend who was a big bodybuilder and a black belt in karate. Surely you'd be very happy to have him with you all the time because nobody would be able to bully you. Now imagine as you get on in life, you have got Allah, who is the king, who is the owner of everything in life. So if God is with you, if God is on your side, who do you fear? Nobody. On the other hand, if God is against you, if God is not standing with you, what sort of hope can you have? So this is how we need to get on in life. We need to remember that if we are mindful of Allah, Allah will be standing by us. And if Allah is standing with us, if He's on our side, then what sort of strength do we have? Why should we be worried about anything at all? No worries at all in life. No fear, no worries, because you've got the king, you've got the owner on your side. And this is a promise from Allah. So let's move on then to the next part of the hadith, where it says, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتْ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتْ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. If you ask, if you have a need, if you want to ask for something, you want to ask for help, ask Allah. And if you have a need for anything, don't ask anybody else. Rely on Allah to have it done for you. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتِ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتِ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. As a matter of fact, this part of the hadith constitutes a very important aspect in our life. And if we think carefully, this is what we read in Surah Al-Fatiha when we say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. We worship you and we ask you, we seek help from you. So, any needs we have in life, anything we want in life, we have got Allah to asking for it. The other thing is the dua, asking Allah, doing dua, is actually ibadah, it's a form of worship. A dua huwa al-ibadah. Allah tells us in the Quran, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ اِدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Allah tells us in the Quran, He tells us, اِدْعُونِي, ask me, and I will respond to you. But let's go through the rest of the ayah, and this is the very serious bit that we need to think about carefully. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ اِدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. The rest of the ayah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. The rest of the ayah says, those who do not ask me, those who do not worship me, because asking dua is worship, God considers them to be too proud. They are too proud to ask. And He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. They will go to hellfire. So let's think about this ayah carefully. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ اِدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Ask me and I will give you, I shall grant you. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. So Allah considers that if you don't ask Him, it is as if you are being too proud. You think that you are too big a person to ask, and He does not like that. Imam Ahmad always used to have a very important dua where he says, Allahumma kama sunta wajhi min al-sujud li ghayrik fasunhu min al-mas'ala li ghayrik. He used to say, Allah, like you have protected my face from bowing to somebody else besides you, then protect me from asking anybody else besides you, from having the need to ask anybody else besides you. The hadith of Prophet Muhammad says, من سأل مسألة وهو غني عنها كان شيئا في وجهه يوم القيامة. If you go around asking people, whoever goes around asking people for things, especially if he doesn't need it very much, on the day of judgment is going to show in his face. And hadith also عن ابن عمر where the Prophet says, ما يزال الرجل يسأل الناس حتى يأتي يوم القيامة ليس في وجهه مزعة لحم. A person keeps going around asking people He's asking people for help. Please give me this, give me that, give me that. Asking people. On the day of judgment, he comes with no flesh on his face at all. So, this is a very important aspect of the hadith. We all have needs. We all need help. And we must always direct our asking to Allah, not to human beings. We must always rely on Allah on any problems that we face. So, also if we look in the Quran, we find that Allah encourages us to ask. Allah wants us to ask. Where there's a hadith, an Abi Huraira, that the Prophet told us, يَنزِلْ رَبُّنَا تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى كُلَّ لَيْلَةِ إِلَى سَمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا حِينَ يَبْقَى ثُلُثُ اللَّيْلِ الْآخَرِ. Every night, in the third part of the night, the last part of the night before Fajr prayer, Allah descends to the lower skies. And of course, Allah does not have directions, but this is just to explain to us that He gets close. فَيَقُولْ هَلْ مِنْ دَاعٍ فَأَسْتَجِيبَ لَهُ. Does anybody have any needs? Does anybody ask me? And I will grant him what he asked. هَلْ مِنْ سَائِلٍ فَأَعْطِي. Does anybody want something? Who asked me, I'll give it to him. هَلْ مِنْ مُسْتَغْفِرٍ فَأَخْفِرْ لَهُ. Does anybody want to be forgiven? Ask me for forgiven and I will forgive him. So Allah actually encourages us to ask Him. He wants us to ask Him. Allah likes us to ask Him. In Surah Al-Baqarah, the ayah says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. Throughout the Quran, there is always, وَإِذَا سَأَلُكَ عَنْ, if they ask you about, فَقُلْ, say. If they ask you about, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ الْمَحِيضِ, فَقُلْ, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ, فَقُلْ. It is always, if they ask you, say. Except in this ayah, where he says, فَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي, if my worshippers, if my slaves ask about me. He did not say Prophet Muhammad, فَقُلْ, he said, إِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, I am close. To indicate how close Allah is to us. Now in Islam, there is no kahanut. We don't need priests. We don't need intermediaries. We ask Allah straight away. We have got this immediate communication with Allah. Anytime you have any need, anytime we're in any trouble, anytime we want to be forgiven, all what we need to do is just dial the number and ask and we are granted. Just we raise our hands and ask. So, this is very, very important aspect for us because a lot of us are even too lazy to ask. And sometimes we feel that we're too proud to ask. Or I've heard people say, look, how can I ask Allah, you know, I don't do things as I should do. I don't pray on time. Doesn't matter. We should ask Allah because you should not ask anybody else. And Anas, قال عن أنس he said a hadith بيسأل أحدكم رباه حاجته. Everybody should ask Allah for whatever he needs. حتى يسأل شسعا عليه إذا انقطع. Even your shoelace, if your shoelace is cut and you want help with that, ask Allah. Simple things. You're trying to find a parking space, ask Allah. You want to do a simple thing, ask Allah. Asking Allah is a form of worship. So we should always be mindful of that. We should ask Allah for every single thing in our life. The next part of what we should ask for is ista'ana. Not just asking for things, but asking Allah for help. And in Surah Yusuf, we know that where his father said, فَصُبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ مُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. In another place in Surah Al-Anbiya, Allah says, رَبُّحْكُمْ بِالْحَقِّ بَيْنَنَا رَبُّحْكُمْ بِالْحَقِّ بَيْنَنَا وَرَبُّنَا الرَّحْمَنُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. So, we should always be asking Allah for help. We should always be doing dua in everything that we come across in life. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, سَلُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يُحِبُّ أَنْ يُسْأَلُ وَأَفْضَلْ عِبَادَةِ إِنْتِظَارِ الْفَرَجِ. Ask Allah for to give you from His, because He's from His kindness. Allah likes to be asked. وَأَفْضَ الْعِبَادَ أَنْتَظَارِ الْفَرَجِ. And the best form of worship is to wait for things to get better. However, this does not mean that you don't get help from other people as well. So I don't want to be misunderstood here, because you can ask people and you can accept help from people, but you must be in your heart, you must understand that whoever is helping you is actually just carrying out God's will. It is not from them. So the human beings are the means, not the doers. So if a human being is helping you some way, he's just a means of Allah. Allah sends a human being to help you. The other thing is we must always do what they call أخذ بالأسباب. We must try our best. We can't just say, I'll sit there and Allah will resolve everything for me. This is not tawakkul. Tawakkul means that you have to try your best. Umar ibn al-Khattab one day walked into the mosque, and it was during the day, and he found some people sitting there, and he said, what are you doing? It's not prayer time. And they said, نحن المتوكلون. We are relying on Allah. So he got out his stick and he beat them and he said, go and find the job, go and work. Didn't you know that it doesn't rain gold and silver? So this is the essence of it. You try your best, but you rely on Allah for the results. Finally, Imam al-Junayd said a very interesting thing. He said, زَلَلْتُ أُكَلِّمُ اللَّهَ 40 عَامًا وَالنَّاسَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنِّي أُكَلِّمُهُمْ. Imam al-Junayd is one of the great scholars. He said, for 40 years, I've been talking to Allah, whereas people thought I was talking to them. What he means here is that whenever he's talking to people, whenever he's asking people for anything, he knows that people are just the means, but Allah is the actual doers. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الملك الحق المبين وأشهد أن سيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Can you please move a little bit forward to make space for the late comers? Thank you. So this aspect of the hadith, as I said, is very important. We should always ask Allah for whatever we need. We should always do dua. We should, as a matter of fact, make a point of doing as much dua as we can and always rely on Allah. However, there's another important point just to clarify that the hadith tells us, مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. So, if you do me a favor, or if I ask you for something and you do it for me, although I know that you are not the doer, that Allah is the real doer and you are just the means by which it's done, I should thank you. Because the hadith tells us, مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ. If you don't thank people for good things they've done for you, you haven't thanked Allah. So it doesn't mean that because we can see through a person, we can see that Allah is the real doer, we don't thank people. No, we should thank people and we should be nice to people. Finally, it says that what we learn from the hadith as a whole, because as I said, it's long hadith and maybe we'll even have another khutbah to discuss the rest of it. But the essence of it, that everything is in the hands of Allah. لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing really within our hands. Everything is in the hands of Allah. So, if we really have a deep belief in that, we should live in dignity. Because we know that we rely on Allah. We know that everything is in His hands. And He tells us, ask me and I shall grant you. So, I will end up with a very nice hadith about the tawakkul. وَلِاعْتِمَادَ عَلَى اللَّهِ. How do you should rely on Allah and have real tawakkul? The hadith says, لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَوَكَّلْتُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِ. If you learn how to rely on Allah in a real, genuine way, لَرَزَقَكُمْ كَمَا يَرْزُقُ الطَّيْرِ. He will grant you things, He will grant you rizq, as He grants the birds the rizq. تَغْدُو خِمَاصًا وَتَعُوضِ بِطَعْمًا. Birds leave their nests in the morning with empty stomachs. They turn to the end at the end of the day with full stomachs. Where have they found their food? Who granted their food? Who granted them the rizq? Allah. So if we have real reliance on Allah, if we learn to rely on Allah in everything in our lives. He will grant us everything just like He grants it to the birds. Another important hadith which says, لن تموت نفس حتى تستكمل رزقها وأجلها فأجمله في الطلب. Two things. Nobody will die, no nafs, no person will die except if he gets two things or she gets two things that have been ordained for them. A rizq, this is what rizq does not only mean money, it means money, it means health, it means children, it means a lot of things in life. So rizq, whatever has been ordained for you, you will get. And al-ajal, the date of your death, the date where this life ends. These are two of the things that are written for everyone on this earth before they are born, while they are still in the womb. So a rizq, you will get it before you die. The interesting thing or the important thing is that whatever has been meant for you, you will get. The rizq that has been meant for you, you will get. You might find that initially the way you will get it is through a haram way. If you refuse the haram, you will get it through halal. But if you take the haram, then you got what has been ordained for you, and you get also the punishment for that. So don't think that because you are short of money or you need something, and there's a way that's haram, you know, I will sell alcohol, for example, or I will take riba, because what shall I do? I need the money. Don't worry. You will get it, because it's part of your risk. And if you don't get it from the haram way, you will get it through the halal way. So hopefully that if we take home this message, if we feel that Allah is with us, if we feel that Allah will help us, if we feel that we have got the King, the owner of this world on our side, and we ask Him, we don't need any intermediaries, all what you need to do is just ask. We can live in dignity, and we can live in peace, inshallah. اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك واغننا بفضلك عمن سواك اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي ابدا ما احييتنا وارحمنا بترك ما لا يعنينا وارزقنا حسن النظر فيما يرضيك عنا وازن قلوبنا حفظ كتابك كما علمتنا اللهم انصر الاسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الاسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الاسلام والمسلمين ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه وقنا عذاب النار وادخلنا الجنه مع الابرار واخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين عباد الله ان الله يأمر بالعدل والاحسان وايتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم واستغفروه يغفر لكم واقم الصلاه يرحمكم الله